Have you ever been in that kind of experience where you are so grateful and it just pours and pours and pours forth? I imagine that's what it might have been like in this familiar story of a man who was left for dead on the side of the road. He'd been robbed and beaten and stripped naked. It's a story told in Luke that you might know. And along came a priest, but he saw the man laying on the side of the road. Of course, he was a Samaritan, so the priest crossed the road and moved on his own way. And then next came a Levite, and the Levites were from the 12 tribes of Levi, and they too were considered very priestly. In fact, even if they decided, and they could all choose, the males anyway, if they decided to become a priest, then they were considered higher than the other priests. And this one came along and sees the man laying on the side of the road, and he quickly goes to the other side and moves on his way. But it's a third one who comes. It's a third one who is the cause or the catalyst for the gratitude that goes higher and higher into that kind of angelic realm that we were just taken of receiving gratitude, really feeling grateful. When we are really in a place where we need some help and someone comes along. And when the Samaritan came to the man and he saw that he needed clothing, he clothed him. He put some whatever he had on the man. And when he saw his wounds, he took the oil that he had and he massaged them into the wounds and he bound up the wounds. And he knew that he needed more help because the man was dying. And so he put him on his own donkey and he took him into town, probably very carefully, and went to the innkeeper and very tenderly, I imagine, gave him over to the innkeeper and reached into his pocket and gave the innkeeper some money and said, "Take care of him. I'll come back to check on him. If you incur any more expense, I'll take care of it." Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is tomorrow, and he said this about this well-known and loved biblical story called The Good Samaritan. It's an insightful twist on the story that I hadn't heard before. He said there are two questions, and the first question that the priest and the Levite asked is, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But what the Good Samaritan asked, because we call him good now, right? What the Good Samaritan asked, he reversed it, and he asked the question, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That is the linchpin of social change that Martin Luther King gave his life to. That is the question that reframes everything. It's not all about me and mine and protecting me and mine, because when we get into that kind of mindset, we contract. But when we go into the mindset that says we are together in this, we are one in this, I am you and you are me. So if I see you on the side of the road, there I am. And if I'm on the side of the road and you come to help me, there I am. Because we are constantly in this opportunity to give and to receive and to give and to receive. Today is the law of circulation, which actually says, as I give, so I receive. It's not that the giving and the receiving isn't an equal balance. I always think of that infinity sign, right? Of this law of circulation is much like that. It's the infinite one that flows in this way. It's this loop that just continues and continues and continues. The law of circulation, though, gets sort of jump-started by the giving. And then it goes into effect. And we all know when we give, we receive, right? When we give from a pure heart, when we give from a genuine kind of giving, if we give out of obligation and duty and, then it's, well, maybe not so much, right? And then it sort of ends up being tit for tat. Like I give, I expect to give back. I give, I resent. You know, that's not really the flow that we really want with the law of circulation, which is what we're talking about. So it's not surprising that Dr. King phrases this in such a way that one question saves life, preserves life, and one question essentially contracts it, if not destroys it, or lets it die away. Let's put it that way. So what happens when we do not see outside of our own small world, outside of our own space and the things that we have to do and the people we have in our lives is that our world is small, right? And sometimes not very satisfying. But if instead we open up the way, we get out, we break out of the mental confines, the binds that we have created for ourselves, we live in a whole different way. We live in that divine flow, which is what this is all about. This law of circulation, we can think of it as circulation, right? In the body, circulation. What happens in circulation? You know, there is a source of energy, right, that's pumping in your chest, the life through the blood and the veins and the arteries of your body. That life, blood, spirit, energy is moving through you, oxygenating everything in the body, and then releasing when it's coming back to the source to get renewed, and then releasing once again throughout the body. So you can think about the veins and the capillaries, the giving and the arteries, the giving and the receiving to the source. And those capillaries, those are kind of cool too. Connecting the veins and the arteries is sort of like the connections between us. If you've ever seen those, the pictures of them, they look like branches and roots. And it's like that idea of like the ever-expanding rootedness in the earth and the ever-expanding branches to the sky. All this stuff goes on inside the human body. It is such a magnificent, incredible gift that we have that connects us from earth to heaven and heaven to earth. And all of this is part of that constant flow that we are in when we engage in the law of circulation. When we think about that question from the standpoint of as if we have something to lose, right? If we have something to lose by giving. Sometimes we do think in that way, that, and what do we have to lose? What do we stand to lose by giving? Usually it's pretty minor, like maybe a minor inconvenience of our time, perhaps. Or perhaps it's a minor inconvenience of our comfort. You know, we sort of a little, I believe, a little too hypervigilant about our sense of security sometimes. And it's like, if we could just trust, right? Trust in spirit. Trust that God's got us wherever we go. We're willing then to open up a little bit more, to take maybe at least a small risk, to initiate that law of circulation, to put it into action by a giving of some kind, whatever that may be, a giving of our service, of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, of our tithe. It doesn't matter what it is, it's about the initiation. It is the way of spirit. The way of spirit is generosity. The way of pea brain, remember from last week, is not enoughness, right? Pea brain is all about, you know, sort of protecting me and mine and being in fear. And, you know, and we do that psychologically. Most of us I would guess most of us in this room, we don't live so much in the physical survival space, although I know sometimes in the Bay Area it might feel like we do. But there's that psychological survival that we're always in, right? The constant protection of the little pea brain ego. And it's moving out of that, moving through that as we initiate this flow. As we say, I'm going to give, I'm going to move, I'm going to have something begin to create. And then there it goes. There it flows. When we remember that we are divine in essence, when we remember that we are spiritual beings, this is easy peasy stuff. It's the forgetting. It's the locking in to not enoughness. It's the locking in and the contracting into lack and limitation that binds us up. It's the congestion of thought and congestion of emotion And so what is ours to do to practice this law but mind the storehouse, right? Mind the store. And the store is the storehouse of thoughts and feelings. And so in that storehouse of thoughts and feelings, there are some that just simply do not serve. Maybe they never did serve you. Maybe they did for a while. But there are some old things hanging around in there when we begin to look that we realize we must usher out the door because it is a new day. It is a new year. It is a new opportunity to come clear and clean and current once again. And by current, I mean literally current, like in the electrical flow of spirit. In that electrical flow of spirit, we feel the light. We see the light. Our path is made clear. When we are in that flow, in that current, we are in the current of love, the currency exchange of love. And in that currency exchange of love, we show up like these Christ-like figures like Dr. King, who get that giving comes first, who get that giving is not a sacrifice, but a sacred purpose. And that it's that sacred purpose that we stand on when we awaken, when we start to open our eyes and our hearts and we go, oh, right, I remember who I am now. I remember why I came. I remember who you are. I see past all the stuff that gets in the way, and I see the truth of who you are. I see the purity of your heart. I see the desires of your being that say, I want to remember. Help me remember, so that I can feel the goodness that moves through my being, that I can feel the flow of spirit that tells me I am loved beyond measure. I am in need of nothing. Nothing. So we begin a new series today on this law, this flow, this circulation. You know, circulation is good for everything. It's good for health. It's good for business. If you had a business and you had goods that you wanted to sell, you wouldn't stick them on a shelf in a closet. Right? You got to get them out in circulation. If you've got a service to give to the world, if you've got something that's popping in you that says, boy, I sure want to get my artwork out into the world. I want to begin to write my poetry. I want to do music, or I want to teach young people, or whatever it is, that thing that has been, you know, moving around in you probably for a whole lifetime. And then you go, oh, right. That is mine to do. And then we begin to do it, right? We put it into circulation. We put our service into circulation. And guess what? We bless lives. That's what happens when we enact the law. And when we don't enact the law, we live in this contracted space where life is hard and unfair and nobody loves us. And we're not enough, and we're not worthy of being enough, and we're not worthy of having enough. Anybody relate to these ideas? Anybody tired of living that way? And so the more we wake up, the more we step into the flow, to the infinite flow, the more we initiate the giving so that we can be in the receiving and we can be in the flow, the more we go, I don't want to be there anymore. And then, you know what? We can't even go there anymore. We can't even do it anymore. You try to step your toe back in over there. It's like, ow, ooh, that's nasty. Why did I live over there before? And so it becomes easier in the sense of the flow and the grace. Challenges get bigger. But bigger in the sense that we're just called up higher, not bigger in the sense that we don't know that we can do it. Because what we do know now is that we can. And that is a whole different world. That's where we go as we shift, as we evolve, as we step in, as we become more of who we truly came to be. And the law of circulation can help us remember again and again and again. How do I initiate this again? Oh, right, I give. Ernest Wilson was one of the leaders of Unity. I always give thanks for our Unity historian, Mike, who reminded me earlier that he followed the Fillmores in leadership at some point. And he talked about how when we say when times are tight, we say something has to give, you know? He says when times are tight, someone has to give. Someone has to give. And if we're experiencing tight times, guess who it is, right? If you find yourself saying, I'm on a fixed income, I want to invite you to never say those words again about yourself or anyone else. Because what it says to the universe, what it declares to the universe is, here's my cap. Here's my limit. I cannot receive any more income. Because that's as far as it goes. Got it? Everybody hear that? That's it. No more. It's fixed for the rest of my life. So, of course, we have economic reasons to say that, but it doesn't serve us in day-to-day life. That's the thing. Spirituality serves our day-to-day life. It's not like, oh, we live in the physical realm, and then on Sunday we have a spiritual thing, and then we go back and live in the physical realm. That is not what Unity is about. I'm sorry if that's news to you and you want to leave. Because this journey is about boots on the ground. This journey is about, I feel it in my heart, I know it in my mind, I have a prayer, I have an experience, I have an awakening, I have a knowing. I mean, think about everything we've experienced in the last almost hour. I mean, what will come back to me again and again is that crescendo of gratitude. Because I felt it, I experienced it, I engaged it, and there's no going back from that. You might have a thought or a knowing in a moment, and then it sort of just becomes a slippery slope, right? But when we have an experience, when we have something that locks into the heart, then that changes us from inside. And to have the experience, we have to take at least a little bit of risk to give, to extend ourselves in some way. And please hear me, that by this, I'm not saying, hey, y'all, give more. Because I think that's where we get stuck, right? We think, oh my God, this ministry, would you stop asking me to volunteer and give you money, right? This is what happens in a membership organization, right? That's the way it can be heard on a surface level and understood on a surface level, especially if we're coming from a place that says, I already feel like I don't have enough. And you're asking me to give more. You know, way back at the time of the Corinthians, Paul had this issue, and Paul said, remember this, because he realized that everybody was getting nervous. And he's like, oh, wait. Remember this, that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He used an agricultural metaphor because the people could relate to it, because every day they knew what it was like in the field to either sow generously or sow sparingly. If you want a bunch of great vegetables, you're going to have to sow generously. You're going to have to throw down some seed. You're going to have to give a little of your sweat equity to get the bounty that you're looking for. And so he goes on to say, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And behind any kind of ask that you ever hear, at least from this place, I want you to know that the desire behind it is that last part. So that you will have everything that you will feel bountiful in your spirit, that you will get to engage in this amazing flow that will make you come alive. That's why we're jump-starting our heart with this, because that flow, that circulation, that thing that we are participating in is indeed what will make us come alive. To be in it, to know that we can give and we can receive, and we can receive and we can give. We got to look at the receiving end too. What's blocking that, right? What allows us to say, you know, God isn't giving me anything and our hands are not even open, right? The world is not giving enough to me. It's like, well, open up because it's everywhere, right? The good is everywhere. The supply is everywhere. Wherever there's a need, there is a supply, right? Simple economics, spiritual economics, as we are about to get into soon, is that, right? You can take the idea of simple economics. You can say, well, there was a time when the U.S. looked around and said, boy, we need some coffee. And Brazil looked around and said, whoa, we need some wheat. And we said, hey, how about we trade? Or somebody said, let's trade. We'll give you wheat, you give us coffee. Oh, great, everybody gets their needs fulfilled. But it's that same idea, right? So, and it's not so simplistic like I give something to Tyler and Tyler gives something to me. I mean, that's a lovely like flow when it happens that way, right? But if instead it's like Paul gives something to John and John gives something to Danae, the giving and the receiving has happened, right? Because we are all one. So when we give to the person on the side of the road in some way, so to speak, whatever that might situation might be as a metaphor, we receive somehow, some way in the moment of giving or some other way. But we don't give to receive. We give because it is our nature. We give because it is the way of spirit to be in the flow of generosity. So the receiving can get a little tight. You know, Stephen Mitchell is a translator and commentator of some classics such as the Book of Job and the Tao Te Ching. And his wife, Vicky Chang, pointed out to him when he was first getting started in this work that his aversion to money was like the flip side of greed that he was so against, right? And that by having this aversion to money, he was not open to be able to give his work out into the world because he was had an aversion to receiving anything in return, receiving money in return. And it helped him shift. And had he not shifted, we may not have all those books that have blessed so many through the years. So being a good receiver is also a part of it. Unfixing our mindset that says, this is all I can receive. So Eric Butterworth, boy, I want to talk about him a little bit. He tells a story that actually comes from Newsweek magazine back like 120 years ago or something. It was printed. It was a story of the hot dog vendor. And the hot dog vendor was this man who he didn't listen to the radio and he had something going on with his eyes, so he didn't listen to the newspapers. So he didn't know a lot about what was happening in the world. But in his world, some good things were happening. He was selling hot dogs, and it was going really well. And so he was living near that area where the highway was, and he would he put up a sign on the highway, and it seemed like more people came. And then he stood on the side of the road, and he'd say, "Hey, mister, buy a hot dog." And people would come, and they were really good, and so more people would come, and think business was booming. So he got to the point he was ordering supplies, and he found a place to store his supplies, and his son was off at college, and so he called up his son, and he said, you know, I need some help. Business is booming. You know, you want to come help me? And so the son comes, and he kind of sees what his dad's up to, and he says, "Dad, don't you read the newspapers? Don't you listen to the radio? We are in a terrible financial crisis." He said, "It's international. It's worldwide. And it's really bad domestically." And his dad said, "Oh, well, my son is, he goes to college and he reads the papers. He listens to the radio. He must really know what's going on." he didn't feel comfortable anymore yelling it out to people, come buy a hot dog, mister. He thought, well, what if they don't have enough money? So he stopped doing that. And then after a while, he thought, I should probably take that sign down that's on the highway. And overnight, his business just sank. And he came to his son, and he said, son, you are so right. We are in the midst of a Great Depression. It is more challenging when the collective consciousness is going in an unsavory direction, right? It is more challenging because then we think, oh, I either have to flow with the masses in this consciousness or I have to fight against it. And neither of those sound like really great pathways to take. But there is another path, a first path, which is standing in truth, which is shoring up our own consciousness, which is knowing something else is at play and being that something else in the world that is being asked of us, that Spirit is asking us to give that consciousness. So Eric Butterworth talks about that. Boy, I'm just, thanks to our switch for just following along with wherever we're headed here. He says that things happen in the world, but the degree of influence happens in our minds. Your prosperity, your recession, your difficulty begins with you, Eric Butterworth says, not the world around you. The world around you simply reflects the collective consciousness of the people. In the state of your mind and the attitudes you hold, you become a part of the problem or a part of the solution. So what he suggests is when the experts start giving the doom and gloom of what's happening, that we say, well, that's an interesting perspective. Thank you for sharing that. But guess what? I am established in the flow of substance. I am established in the vitality of life. I am established in the never-ending flow of love. I am one who gives and receives and moves and has my being in the Spirit because in essence, that's who I am. And that's the truth. And that's my truth. And I'm living from that truth. And by living from that truth, I'm influencing all the people around me. And by influencing all the people around me, we start to bond together and we start to influence more people and we start to influence more people. And guess what? The experts are yelling. It's a bull market. Guess who flipped the switch? You. You. We flip the switch. We get to call the shots because we remember who we are. So as you honor Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow, in whatever meaningful way that you decide to pause and to honor him, just remember that we cannot outgive God. That truth is an ever-present truth. So in short, stop worrying so much and start just initiating the flow. It's bigger than we could know. It's an opening of floodgates that we have yet to experience. But if we just take the little risk to say, okay, all right, I'm up for it. I'm going to give a little and open myself to receive in whatever ways it comes, not with specific expectation or attachment, just a knowing it comes. It comes and it goes and it comes and it goes and I don't have to cling anymore. I don't have to contract anymore. I don't have to circle the wagons anymore because I am safe in the one. Everything flows in its prosperous goodness, in its way. This does not mean challenges don't come, but when they do, there we are going, wow, an opportunity to remove another block and see what's behind it. and what will come as I do. So Martin Luther King gave freely and abundantly of himself, and he continues to feed us today. His dream is still alive. His dream still pumps through the veins and the arteries of our social consciousness. His dream, he was a reverend too. He was a minister too. He knew that the inner work is what starts the process of the outer change. And we know that too. We just forget sometimes. But let's make this the year we remember more. Let's make this the year that we don't get that amnesia so much. Let's make this the year that when we start to contract, we catch ourselves and we catch each other and we call each other up. Let's make sure that our board of trustees, that we remember this together, that you will remind me and I will remind you that, oh, remember a Sunday morning or two, we were talking about this. Well, why are we contracting then? Because all we need to do is give and to be in the flow. And here it comes, whatever that might be, whatever that good is that we seek. So Dr. King really got it. He imagined economic equality, but he also imagined all kinds of goodness, justice and dignity and equality in all forms, right? Because he saw that we are one. He knew that we are one. And we do too. So in our own ways, we initiate that circulation. What will you give that you know will last? Maybe thinking of it in legacy terms as we think of Dr. King. When you give, what do you give that you know will last? A little kindness will last forever. And so maybe that's it, a kindness. Whatever it is for you to unclench and to open to, let this be your day, your year, your moment to do it. Oh, the places we will go, Dr. Seuss said, right? When we do these things, when we practice these principles, let us really do it together. All right, I want to invite us to say an affirmation so we can hear some more music. Let's say this together. I bust open my limited thinking and live in the divine flow. I consciously give and receive, and so it is.